Hi, this is Erin.
This is Jessica.
And this is episode 31 of the Double Knit Podcast. Happy New Year!
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
So we're both totally zonked this morning.
I know. I went into work late today, so I got to sleep in. So I woke up like 20 minutes ago. And I haven't had my full ration of coffee yet, which would be my French press, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. And I have the exact opposite that Wes is staying in his dad's house, so I had to get up super early to get my older son off to school. So now I'm all tired from that. So,
So what are you working on? I'm just going to ignore Audrey yelling.
Yeah, hear Audrey yelling from the other room. I usually make something for my best friend's daughters for Christmas.
Okay, I'm going to stop and tend to her. Okay, Audrey's with us now.
Yeah, so now there's three tired people podcasting.
So I usually make
her daughters something for Christmas. Like, the last couple years, I sewed things for them. Mm-hmm. December was so crazy for me with Wes's mom being sick and everything. I just didn't think to do anything for them this year. And then they gave the boys really, really nice presents, and I felt really bad, so starting Christmas Day, I, like, hurriedly made two pairs of the Elf Shoes pattern by Pamela Wynn, which is a free pattern that it's really cute, and it's a really simple pattern. It's felted slippers. They're done all in one piece. There's a billion short rows because it's got a short row heel and a short row.
They're, like, pointy.
Yeah, they're kind of clever construction. You do short rows along the bottom of the front of the foot,
mm-hmm.
so that the bottom is longer than the top, so it makes it curl up.
I see.
And so you do all these short row shapes that make the front of the toe curl up, and then you can make the toe as pointy as you want. Like, you can make them not all that pointy by just, like, when you get to the end just being done, or you can do a little bit of I-cord, or you can do a lot of bit of I-cord. I did, like, three rounds of I-cord. Mm-hmm. I guess I should have made a note of that when I posted it. And then I tried to felt them in my front loader, which totally doesn't work. I mean, it gets it, like, partially felted in, like, the worst way possible. But then Amanda, let me come over to her house because she's got an older top-loading washing machine. I don't know what's going to happen in, like, another 5 years to all the people who enjoy felting when all the old top-loading washing machines are, like, with agitators are all gone and we all have these nice high-efficiency machines. Because it's really, really hard to felt without them.
I'm sure my landlords will still have them here.
I tried felting a little bit by hand, too, and that did not work well at all.
Yeah.
I also experimented a little bit with a product called Plastidip, which I remember hearing about, like, a billion years ago on Martha Stewart. Because it's sold as a plastic coating that you can put on, like, tool handles, mm-hmm. and things like that. But I know people use it to make slipper soles less slippery.
Yeah.
So I just sort of, actually, I ended up, like, spreading mine on with a plastic knife, just, like, smearing it on, like, cream cheese. Then yesterday on my blog, Kathleen Taylor, who's the author of I Heart Felt and Knit One Felt Two, said, well, if you just take some, like, masking tape and tape it around the bottom of the shoe, you know, where you want it, and then you can just pounce on the stuff. She's even said using a makeup sponge. I've seen people say use a foam brush,
uh-huh.
Which sounds like it would get much more professional results than what I did. And then I just used Cascade 220 for that. I just did use scraps of stuff. I did one with stripes and one and just two colors, so that was really fun to do. And then my older son, I showed him Incognito on Knitty, which is the cowl that has the duplicate stitch mustache on it. And he was like, oh, yeah, I want that. And he wanted it in green, he said, with a very large black mustache. So I got a skein of Verde Adriana Malabrigo worsted and knit that. It took, like, I started it because we were heading to the movies, and I realized I didn't have any movie knitting. So I did the provisional cast on, knit the inside hem, and did the turning row, and then went into the movie, and then had to do the joining round,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you knit the hem together,
yeah.
like in the theater in the dark. So I think I did, it's got a little twist to it, it's got a little angle to it, but It's fine. But I knit the entire thing. Like, I when I left the theater, I'd actually knit the cowl a little too long because the movie is way too long, and I'll talk about that later.
Oh, Avatar.
Avatar. Yeah, I went home, knit the other turning round, tacked down the hem. The next morning, I did the duplicate stitch on the mustache, and I was all done. I used some Lamb's Pride for the duplicate stitch. And so that was a quick, fun one, and he thinks that's cool. And then, yes, bum, bum, bum. I started.
She's reading my notes for me.
Yes, she is. I started the 10 shawls in 2010. So I started with a Bitterroot, which is from the last knitty also. The yarn I had is from Butternut Woolens, and it's one of the skeins that Shelley sent me to replace the indigo dye stuff that was stopped bleeding. So I'm not playing with the notes. It's not me.
To Audrey. Just whisper when we're talking to Audrey.
Stop it. Yes, they're the notes. I don't know if the yarn was labeled incorrectly or if I'm just a ding. I don't know what's going on. But I thought I had knit one less repeat of chart A than I was supposed to. And so I went back and knit another one. And then I realized as I was getting to the end of chart C that I was totally running out of yarn. So I cut a repeat, or half a repeat out of that. So I knit the same number of rows I was supposed to, but I'm on the final chart now, and I'm totally running out of yarn, and I have like enough for maybe a couple more rows, and I'm gonna have to find some other yarn to finish it with, and I don't really know why. I think maybe there's a possibility that my yarn isn't as much yardage as I thought it was. Yes, I've been looking on Ravelry, and it seems like people have been knitting it successfully with less yarn than I have, so I don't really know why mine is...
Are you doing beads on yours?
I did.
Oh, you got those. You showed them to me.
I bought some of the spin-in, and then they're these little teardrop-shaped ones. So I started beading it the night before last... I've been home with my son for the last 3 days because he's been sick.
That's part of why you're so tired.
Yeah, he wasn't that sick, but he was sick enough he couldn't go to school. But so I was going to go and buy a really tiny crochet hook to do the beading with. But since I didn't get a chance to go to the shop, I was doing the beading with dental floss, where you'd like put the, you know, the floss through the bead, through the stitch, back through the bead, and then pull the stitch through the bead. Yeah. It took forever. And so then I've gotten to the point now where I need to do more beading, and I just put it aside until I can get a little crochet hook for it.
Do we have small enough ones at the shop?
I think so. We've got like a size 10 steel ones that, and the hole on these are just a pretty good size, but I'll have to see if it's small enough. Otherwise I might have to just do the rest with floss, which will make me like so sad. And, actually, I've got so little yarn left, I should just string it on the other end of the yarn and just pull it up. Oh, gosh. So, I gotta figure out what I'm gonna do to finish that. I'm gonna have yet another... I don't know what it is, like, lately...
You've got, like, bad shawl mojo or something.
Well, every project I've worked on, I feel like, in the last... I mean, not every
project.
Your
slipper. I felt it's elf slippers.
But all these projects where I keep, like, I'm so low on yarn. Like, I did when I did the featherweight cardigan, I used every last bit of the yarn... my February lady sweater where I used every last bit of the yarn. I'm just like... And Damson where I ran out of yarn and then I did it and used another yarn. Just like... I feel like everything I'm doing lately, it's like, what is wrong with me? Why don't I have enough yarn?
You just need to buy ridiculous yardage now.
With the 10 shells in 2010, I'm really trying to use yarn from Stash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the other thing too, I didn't weigh the skein. I was just sort of relying on the label to be correct, but I think the label, like... Some of the information was written in and some of it was crossed out. And then I have another skein that I'm using. Well, so I put Bitterroot aside and I cast on for Clotilde.
Which some nice lady gave me
as a Christmas gift.
That, I have to say, that's an awesome feature.
Oh, the wish list item on Ravelry? Yeah. Like, I don't know if people have noticed that on your... When you're queuing items, there's now a button where you can say, like, add this to my wish list. And then people can buy you... The pattern is a gift, which was very nice.
Erin
didn't put anything on her wish list, but I had Amanda be my super spy and ask, like, say, that pattern that you were looking at, did you get that yet?
Yeah.
And she said, no, cute. I didn't. So I got Erin a pattern
for Christmas. Yeah, it's a little, I'm just going to interject here.
Oh, yeah.
They're they're little bloomers that have detachable leg warmers.
They're called convertible bloomers.
Yeah.
They're really cute.
Yeah, ridiculously cute.
Very cute.
Audrey will have some of those for the summer.
Yay. Yeah. So I started Clotilde with the other skein of yarn I got from Shelley from Butternut. The one from Bitterroot is a superwash Falkland wool, and the one for Clotilde is a superwash merino. They're both really nice yarns, but I weighed the one for the Clotilde, and
it's very pretty color.
It's a kind of a
grassy green.
Yeah. There was a weight that was printed on the label that was crossed out, and another weight was written in. But the weight that was crossed out was actually the correct weight for the skein. Okay. But the yardages are... it's like, I don't know how much yardage I have, so I'm just going to have to kind of wing it and hopefully be able to finish it. La, 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 la.
Yeah.
Hey there, Audrey. Anyway, so that's everything I'm knitting right now.
Okay, let me call my notes.
What's your list look like?
Let's see what I finished. I finished the Peaks Island hood. I haven't taken a picture of it. I'll show it to you.
And that's the...
on the sofa.
Oh, yeah.
It's the hooded scarf from Yuzolda Teague. From Whimsical Little Knits, too.
Yeah.
And I knit that in Mushishi.
Which you like to say.
I do like to say it. Mushishi. Which is from Plymouth. It's a 95 wool, 5 silk. And I liked it, except for, like Nora, there was like crazy parts. I'll show it to you. There's this kind of barfy tangerine, which I don't really like. But it's only in like 3 parts. But there's not, it didn't seem like there was a gradual color shift change. It was like maroon to tangerine, just like that, you know?
Well, I'm sure they don't use the same spinning process that Nora uses. That's pretty unique to get their color changes.
But, you know, looking at this game, you couldn't really tell how it's going to go. And I like it pretty well, even barfy parts included. So. And I finished my acorn stash sock.
Yeah, those were cute.
And, I have a ton of yarn left over. I weighed it, and I have enough to knit a third sock. I could knit a third sock.
I can't remember which yarn you're using.
Fearless Fibers.
Oh, okay.
And her skeins are huge. They're 550 yards.
Oh, wow.
And it feels kind of... Yeah, so that'd be awesome for little shawls.
And I wouldn't keep running out of yarn.
She's an indie dyer on Etsy.
Oh, okay.
And I bought that kit. And the color is greed. It's like yellowish green. With a little bit of, orangey bits in it, a little bit. And it felt kind of rough when I was knitting with it, but I blocked it, and it's so soft now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was funny when you were knitting them, I was looking at them, and I knew the name was, like, Acorn Socks, and I was like, okay. But then until you blocked them and then showed them to us, then suddenly I was like, now I see acorns!
Yeah, because before they just kind of look like little weird blobby things.
Yeah. But it's a very cute pattern now that I see the pattern.
Yeah, I liked it. And it was fun to knit. Like, for some reason, I read the instructions wrong, and I was, like, knitting, and I was like, oh, I only have one more repeat for the leg. And I thought I had to do, like, 3 more or something. Oh. But I like lace patterns like that where you can count how many repeats you have to do, and it makes progress seem faster or something. Like, I only have 3 more of these little damn acorns to do, so awesome. And on Christmas, I knit the... She's got
you
the sleepy sillies.
Yes, you're very pleased with yourself right now.
The French press felted slippers.
Yes,
wearing. Yeah, out of stash yarn.
Cute.
I could have actually felted them down a little bit more. Uh-huh. They're a little bit long. And Audrey dumped her milk in them the other day, so... they're looking a little thrashed already,
you can throw them back in the washer too.
Yeah. Well, I put the suede soles on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The two-piece ones, not the wraparound ones, and those are great.
Oh, that's good.
Because they don't like. Well, I felt like the when I knit those felted clogs last year in 2008 for Noah's dad, for Christmas I got the soles that have like the lip on them.
Slipper sole,
And those are a pain to sew on.
Oh, yeah.
Because like trying to get in the needle into where the toe is, because the foot's so deep on the man size, which is like horrible. So these were really easy.
Yeah.
Because it's just the ball of the foot and then the heel. Yeah. 2 separate little parts.
Cool. Now everyone and their mother is knitting those, and then the yarn harlot blogged about them, and then everyone else who had knit them was knitting them.
Which I didn't know that because I don't read blogs.
Well, but I was just going to say, though, that it seems like there's a lot of assembly with these? Like, I heard from a lot of people there's a lot of sewing.
There is. So I knit them on Christmas Day when I was over at my in-laws. And then the next day I sewed them together. And probably the sewing together took half as long as the knitting. The knitting was like 3 or 4 hours.
I don't like pride. That's the nice thing with those elf shoes. It's all one piece.
Yeah.
You don't have to sew anything.
But you know, you
nice.
Can be super sloppy too. You just want to make sure they're together.
Yeah.
I felted them the next day and dried them. So it was like a 3-day process, but I knit them in one day.
Cool.
So
that's fun.
Yeah. They're good.
So what's up next for you?
I'm working on the oak ribbed socks from Knitting Vintage Socks. Mm-hmm. And those are for my sister-in-law. When I was in Kansas, I bought the yarn at Twist in Wichita. Mm-hmm. It's 75 bamboo and 25 nylon. So I thought ribbed socks would be good for that. Because yeah. I don't know how long. Have you got crackers? Yeah. You've gone crackers.
You've gone crackers.
Because I'm not sure how the bamboo's gonna hold its shape. It's the first time I've knit with bamboo sock yarn. I've knit with baby bamboo before, mm-hmm. like a little baby sweater, but that has wool in it. So.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And the colors are pretty. So. And I'm almost done with Frost Diamonds. I meant to finish it last night. I have to purl the rest of that row and bind off. That's it, but I got so tired.
Oh, yeah.
I totally crashed after the guild meeting last night.
So that's from the new Nitty. It's like
Stephanie Chappelle pattern.
It's like a 4/5 shawl, right?
Yeah.
And it's done. And you're knitting it in the Sundara
Aaron Silky Merino. Yummy. That's been in my stash. And I'm actually gonna have almost a whole ball left over because I'm knitting it on a 9 instead of a 10 because my yarn was lighter weight than the pattern. I think hers is like Lorna's green line worsted or whatever is 4.5 on an 8 and mine's 4.5 on a 7.
Yeah.
So, but I like the fabric I'm getting.
That's good.
And I like the color. It turns my hands red.
Yeah. Oh. Still red. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I think it's just the silk.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll have to soak it for a long time. Because, I joined that 10 and 2010 group.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
God.
So.
And this morning, like, what the hell was I thinking?
You're already done with your first one, and it's what, January 8th?
7th? Yeah, I cast on Monday, and today's Thursday? Yeah, today's Thursday.
Well, so the funny thing with this challenge to me is the requirements for the challenge. So you're supposed to do 10 shawls. Two of them have to be, I keep forgetting.
273 yards.
273, eight of them have to be 273 yards. And then only two of them have to be over, what, 500 meters?
576 yards or something.
Which, I mean, call me a snob, but that's, like, really tiny.
It is really tiny. Yeah, Monica was like, you could do, like, a small Ishbel, you know, like, small.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I think the fact that on the second day of January, people were already posting their finished
that's
shawls. I think by, you know, first week of February, some people are going to be done with this challenge. I think there should have been at least one in there that had to be like 1,000 yards or something. And I'm going to do that. I'm starting with a couple of, there you go.
There are 31 posts in the FO thread for January already.
And only one of them is the moderator. The rest are finished because you can't put comments in this thread.
Yeah.
So 30 people have finished a shawl already. And a lot of them are... Well, anyway, I mean, you know, I mean, they meet the requirements. I mean, some of them, I'm amazed how much people have done. They're like
700 yards
of lace. I mean, people have like gone crazy. I mean, I think also maybe, you know, people were home on vacation for the first few days of the month, and also people are all fired up. It's kind of interesting to me. I think this is going to end really quickly for some people.
Yeah.
My plan with it, so I'm doing Bitterroot and Clotilde. The next one I have in my queue is Echo Flower, which I'm also planning on doing in some sock yarn that I got at Sock Summit.
Oh, I like that there's a man in
there's
here.
There's a man, yeah.
There's a man wearing a little neck shawl.
Yeah.
Is that I'm not sure what the pattern is.
I think he made it. I think it's his own pattern.
Oh. Mario by yours truly.
Yeah.
I like men in neck shawls or like little neck scarves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I would never wear that.
Wes would never wear that. But I do have a few other big ones and planned, like a couple of circular shawls, like Probably the Shetland tea shawl from Gathering of Lace, or you know, whips don't count. So I was thinking, like, if I finish Frostflower, well, not if, when I finish Frostflower and Leaves, it won't count toward this challenge.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of doing like Dayflower Daydream by Eugene Bugler or something like that, which should take a little bit more time. But at this rate, I'm going to have two finished shawls. I started Clotilde and I'm already like, I'm a good chunk into it and I only started a day ago.
Yeah. So the way I'm doing it, well, part of the reason I joined is I was looking at the shawls in my queue and I was like, I really want to knit like these five this year and that's already half. So might as well.
Yeah.
But I am thinking of it as like a year-long challenge, like posting probably now through October, or you know, have a couple months where I don't post any. Just because there are a couple that I want to knit that are larger.
Yeah.
I was thinking about doing that Moroccan Days one.
Oh wow. Which is
30x90, I think.
Are you like? Is that comes as a kit, right?
Yeah, I have a kit.
Oh, you have it? Oh wow.
I just don't have the beads yet.
Oh, okay.
And I know Sarah. Hi, Sarah. I know Sarah has it too. She has the Arabian Nights one, the purple version.
Oh, okay. Because
she said she got the beads and got them strung on, and that was as far as she got. Which totally makes sense, because in the beginning you have to string on like 2,300 beads, because it's a beaded edging.
Yeah.
You knit it from one end to the middle.
Oh, okay.
Instead of from the middle to the end.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's why I'm always sort of put
off.
That'd
be like 2,000 yards out of my stash.
Ooh.
Holy sweet.
That's something else you just reminded me. So I used Knit Meter this year to see, because when we had that conversation about how much I thought I could knit in a year.
I forgot to check how much I knit this year.
So I've been using it, and I posted on my blog. I knit last year a little over 22,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, right. And then I went to my stash and I calculated how much I had. And I had pretty much what I started with.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that meant that I bought 22,000 yards of yarn.
Did you use that wasn't logged in?
I think I kept finding things. Like, I found a skein of lace weight that was like 2,500 yards that wasn't logged in. So then I had to add that in. But I did buy yarn, plenty of yarn this year. It was just kind of funny to me that I was like, look at that, 22,000 yards, and then I went back and I was like, I still have 73,000 yards. What? The other thing too is like,
she thinks it's funny.
It's very funny, isn't it? And then I still make yarn too, so rarely. I shouldn't make it sound like I'm spinning away and producing all this yarn, but you know, I'll pick you up. Anyway, but I thought that was kind of funny, but I was pleased that I used up that much. I mean, it wasn't all stash, but I think for the challenge, though, I should be able to use quite a bit of stash yarn for that. There's only one pattern so far that I didn't quite find something I liked in my stash for. And I'm trying to remember. I think it was for the Haruni.
Which we were talking about. I'm going to bring that up.
Really like a lot.
Maybe we should do a mini cal or something.
Oh, on that one?
For that one. Well, maybe in the Pearly Girls group.
Oh, yeah, because it seems like a lot of people were interested in it.
Yeah.
It's it just showed up on Ravelry like, I don't know, like a week or so ago.
Because I saw that you had queued it and Katie queued it, and I'm like, I'm going to queue it too.
Yeah,
it's a free pattern by Emily Ross.
And it's...
And Jean did too.
Yeah, Jean did too. So it's pretty basic leaf lace.
The edging is just beautiful.
The edging is gorgeous. It's a big leaf pattern, and then it uses the little crocheted bind off where you crochet, you know, you take clusters of the stitches along the edge and make a crocheted chain, and then crochet the cluster together and make a crocheted chain, so you get these little loops running along the edge. It's just lovely, and it's shown in this very beautiful gray in Knit Picks of all things.
I think it's a heather, though.
Yeah.
Because there's some pink in it.
Oh, is that,
See? Lavender. Yeah.
So,
it says 475 yards.
Yeah, of fingering weight. And most of my skeins of fingering weight seem to be less than that. And then I also think I like the idea of doing it in a fairly solid color. There are a few here that are done in some other things, but so I haven't decided yet what I want to do it in.
Yeah.
So I might buy something to do this one. Just 'cause.
Yeah, you know, I was actually looking at that too. I know it says fingering. I was looking at the alpaca silk from Classic Elite. Or the alpaca lace.
Yeah. I think there are a few people who are doing them in lace weight. I kind of like that fingering weight, though.
Yeah, I like fingering weight, too.
Just, like, this.
Madeline Tosh would be really pretty in this.
Oh, yeah. That would be So I have, and that, and this one, that one you're clicking on right there has beads in it, but I don't think the original is beaded.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's a pretty little touch.
Yeah.
The funny thing with with Bitterroot, it's the first time I've beaded a shawl, and granted, I have pretty big beads for it, but it adds so much weight to the shawl. It's, hello. It's, oh, yes, that's my face too. Your face, my face. Hello. Well, no, I touched her cheek and she reached up and touched mine back.
Yeah.
She thought it was a bit of a greeting. And now I get to hold your foot. Okay.
Was she in this orange, sorry, this orange one, Shawl for a Sunshiny 2010 by, Oboe Goddess? I was going to say OB. Oboe Goddess? She used 387.2 yards.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to go to Mom? Okay, come here. Go to Mom.
Like, maybe you could get it out of that one toss.
I guess so. But, you know.
Which is $395.
It's hard, though, when you see them model. I mean, not to complain. It's not like I ever model my stuff on me. I lay it out somewhere. But it's hard to get a good sense of what the size of that
right.
is.
Yeah.
It's so it's hard to know. Like, I always feel like the anything that's, you know, in, like, the under 400 yards, it's got to be, like, too skimpy to be any use to anybody. But.
Do you need more crackers? Is that what the problem is?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not sure yet, but it's not like I don't have... I have, like, 26 shawls queued, and I've been trying to, you know, match patterns in my queue to stuff in my stash, and I even, for the first three shawls, got the yarn, wound it all, printed out the patterns, and stuck it all in a bag together so I could just, like...
Grab it.
Go straight to it and...
Whoa!
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we had a little Audrey crash.
Yeah, we had a little emergency
tumble.
There.
She's fine. She has crackers.
Yes. So, anyway, I think I was pretty
I think
much
we were just
done
rambling.
That. Yeah, we were rambling. So, speaking of rambling, let me talk to you about movies.
Oh, God.
So, be prepared.
Here we go.
Yeah, be prepared to edit. I've got a rant coming up.
Bring out your knitting.
I'll try.
Have a seat.
I'll keep it brief. We went to see Avatar. Wes's brother was in town, and they wanted to see it. And the reviews kept coming in as, like, good. It was, like, 80-something percent on Tomato Meter. And I thought, oh, you know, okay, maybe this will be okay. Because I thought the commercials looked, like, horrible. So, yeah, so I hated it. Wes, I think, summed it up really well that he said that the effects were so seamless. Like, the effects are really, really well done. Because it took, like, you know... 5 years and $300 million to make, so they should look pretty good. But the effects are so seamless, it allows you to focus on how horrible the story and script are. Mm. And so about halfway through the movie, something happened that made me just, like, just turned me against the movie. It's, I mean, I think this has been said by a lot of people already, but, you know, it's a rehash of, like, Pocahontas and Dances with Wolves and every other movie where a white man finds, you know, a primitive culture and discovers that they are actually, like, worthwhile. And he discovers this usually by having sex with one of the women and becoming their savior. And it just, it was so racist. And it's like all the you know, the Na'vi, the aliens in the movie are, who are blue in the movie, but they're all voiced by actors of color. And it's like, you know, if you took the blue away and just had a group of, like, Latino and black actors in these roles, everyone would go, like, my God, this is so racist. But the fact that they're, like, blue aliens suddenly, like, oh, no, okay. It's okay. But I halfway through the movie, I just, like, I started rolling my eyes every 2 seconds. And I started, like, throwing my hands up in the air. And pretty soon I was, like, trying really hard not to say, like, but by the time I got to the car, I was, like, in full rant mode. So anyway, I got some issues with it. Everyone I talked to, though, was like, I liked it. So so maybe it's just me, but I could not stomach it. But I've watched a bunch of other good stuff, or other stuff that was interesting lately. Night before last, I watched Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore on Watch Instant, which is a Martin Scorsese film from, like, 1974 with Ellen Burstyn as a... woman, sir, it's what the
keep
sitcom...
talking. I have
okay.
to close the bathroom door.
Go chase a baby. It's what the sitcom Alice was based on. Anyway, really great movie that I enjoyed. It's got a really young Harvey Keitel in it, playing the same crazy guy he always plays. He's been playing. I enjoyed that a lot. And I watched Pageant based on your recommendation, which is also on Watch Good. Instant, which I did enjoy a lot. It was a lot of fun to see. Really kind of, I mean, it was interesting. It's like presented without any commentary, but I felt like I formed some very strong opinions about all these participants watching mm-hmm. it. I watched Funny People the other day, which is the new Judd Apatow film that's got Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen in it, where Sandler plays a character whose career is very much like his own, but whose personal life isn't, and who discovers that he has a very rare form of cancer and is probably dying, and mm-hmm. starts and hires the Seth Rogen character.
Oh, right. I remember seeing the previews
for And it wasn't quite what I was it's not as quite as predictable as I was expecting, and I did enjoy a lot of parts of it. It was just, I don't think it's a great movie, but it was good. And I mean, we were talking about this last night at the Knitters Guild. Like, I love Judd Apatow. I love Freaks and Geeks. I love most of what he does. So I did really enjoy it. It's not as...
She's spazzing out.
You are
she's
really
tired.
Going crazy now. I also watched the first disc of the first season of the United States of Tara, which is a lot of fun. It's written by Diablo Cody, who wrote Juno and Jennifer's Body. You're just upstaging me. No one's going to listen to my movie recommendations. But Toni Collette stars in it.
I love her.
She's fantastic. She plays a woman with multiple personality disorder.
And that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting. So she's got like all of her alters have these obviously very distinct, I mean, very exaggerated personalities, and she does a really good job with it. And then we also watched 500 Days of Summer. Hello. Which is Zooey Deschanel and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which is totally cute and funny, and not in a like, not in the ways you expect it mm-hmm. to be. It's a really silly movie. It was a lot of fun to watch. We both liked that one a lot. And I finally watched Romeo and Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann version, which is also on Watch Instant, which I'd never seen. And while I don't think it's entirely successful, like even just as it started, I was just struck by how incredibly audacious it is, and that's something I really admire about someone like Baz Luhrmann.
You're falling down a lot there.
Falling down a lot. Or like I think about it with the Coen brothers too, that like I don't think what they do is always necessarily successful, but it's always interesting.
Uh-huh.
And
I have to say, I did not find The Lady Killers interesting.
I've still never seen that one.
Ugh,
yeah.
Terrible.
Well, I skipped it because I heard it was bad, but
it's terrible.
But Romeo and Juliet was.
She's so tired.
Okay. Anyway, that's what I was watching. What have you been watching? What are you doing, crazy girl? Come here. Come here while Mom's talking about movies.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Getting <girl. laughs> I watched Beautiful Losers, which is a documentary about the 90s art underground, both West and East Coast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that was really good, and I liked the music, and it's like a lot of artists that are now kind of everybody knows about.
Uh-huh.
And I just looked at it, Shepherd something. I can't remember any of their names. Yeah,
that's okay.
But if you watch it, you'll recognize a ton of it, because one of the guys does a bunch of Pepsi commercials, like with the Sasquatch and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Those kind of, like, modern, like, cutout ones, where it's like, and he did iPod, or Apple iPods commercials and stuff like that, so. She's playing with shoes. Okay. That was really good. And then last night I watched Circle with Eddie Izzard, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. Because
at the end it's got the whole Darth Vader thing.
Oh, that's so good.
Where he's in the canteen of the Death Star.
Yeah,
trying
I posted
to get
that on my blog somewhat recently, because there's someone on had posted on YouTube a bunch of like Lego animations of Eddie Izzard routines.
Oh, right.
So he does the whole Darth Vader in the cantina with Legos, because they have all the Star Wars Legos, which is hilarious. This one is wet. This one is wet. what are you doing with the shoe, buddy?
She's throwing it around.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was... I think that one's really funny, too, because it was shot in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And, like...
The first 10 minutes...
The first few minutes are, like, really tense. Like, the audience is not...
There's with like him. One or two people that clap and yeah. somebody like heckles him. He's yeah. like, shut the hell up or I'll kill you.
yeah. it was, it's a little weird. I'm like, it was kind of an odd choice that that was the one they
And he's wearing for. These amazing stiletto boots. and he's like, if I fall down on the floor dying, will I be able to get up in these boots? like, yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah. He's in the U.S. right now. He's going to be doing a show in Chicago tonight. Because he's on Twitter. He does. I don't think I talked about this. He does this thing on Twitter where he has, when he's doing on this tour he's on, where he's when he goes to a town to do a show, he has a screen up before, like in the pre-show, where it's a live look at his at his Twitter. So and all you see everyone who's sending him messages via Twitter is like projected on the screen. So it's kind of funny when he's in a town, like, you know, you get all these people saying, like, hello from, you know, Kansas City, and hello from Bristol, or, you know, wherever yeah. people are around the world, like, sending in little messages to him. Anyway, cool. I was wishing he would come here, but he's not coming. He's going to be in L.A. for, like, several days, and he's doing New York, mm-hmm. and he's going to be somewhere in the Midwest, which, like, a smaller city, like, I mean, not small city, but I can't remember... Where, I mean, it was just kind of, it was like, originally the tour was like New York, Chicago, LA, mm-hmm. but then he added in like
a couple
St. Maybe. Louis or something yeah. that seemed a little, not the typical tour schedule, yeah. like New York, LA, St. Louis or whatever it was, but,
I watched some other stuff too, but I don't know.
Not making an impression.
No.
But you've been reading?
I read two books.
Ooh.
I read The Daydreamer by Ian McEwan, which is his first juvenile literature novel. About like an 8-year, I think he's 8-year-old boy who's kind of a daydreamer. So it's kind of instead of chapters in a continuous story, it's like chapters of his daydreams. Like, and when he's attacked by his sister's dolls. in another one, he changes places with the family cat. Another one, he like fights off the neighborhood burglar. Like, it's really interesting. I enjoyed it, and it's really easy to read. She's freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I read Dead Until Dark, the first of the Sookie Stackhouse novels by Charlene Harris, which are, you know, they're okay. They're light, easy entertainment.
Yeah.
There's some things that bothered me about them, like some of the phrasing, which I don't know if that it's intentional or what, but like there's a part where she says that something about her and Bill being on the same wave level instead of the same wavelength. And I'm like, that's odd. Is that how people in the South say it? I don't think so. I think wavelength is being on the same wavelength with someone.
Is that something that she's, like, actual, something that she speaks or something that you just get in the narration?
It's in her, like, in her inner monologue.
Oh,
like,
huh. That's funny.
I thought it was odd. And then there's, I don't know. And a lot of talk about, makeup and what she's wearing and her boobs and stuff, huh. Which I think is kind of odd. I don't know. But yeah, I put myself on the wait list for the second one from the library. Oh, thanks. Yeah,
I'll move that out of the way.
Sharp stick thing that you can fall and puncture yourself
with. Well, I'm still, in theory, reading Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius. I've actually picked it up and read a little bit of it, but I picked the wrong day because at the beginning, his mom is very ill and she has this nosebleed that won't stop. And I read that the same day that my younger son had, like, the worst nosebleed in the world, like, all of a sudden when we were in the car, and it took, like, 15 minutes to get it to stop. It was really kind of crazy. So I was, like, having a very visceral response to reading that. But I also started reading Youth and Revolt.
Which is awesome! Oh, my God. I love that book so much. It's so funny.
It is very, very silly.
And kind of disgusting if you're not a teenage boy.
Yeah.
Or a teenager.
Well,
but yeah.
Funny, too, because Amanda has read it already. And then she started watching Skins last night on Watch Instant and said that, you know, it's sort of Youth and Revolt-ish, which it is in that, like, you kind of get firsthand, like, just how disgusting teenage boys really are. But it's funny, but I've read, like, 30 pages of it or something. I have it, like, downstairs, so every once in a while I kind of walk by it and pick it up and read it for like 3 minutes and then put it down again, so.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty entertaining, though.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we should talk about maybe doing a couple knit-alongs this year.
Yeah, that would be fun. And then Ravelympics is coming up in February. I don't know if people
do you
want to
make a team for that, maybe?
We could make a team for that. We could have team double knit.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. I'm not sure what I would do. I probably might pick one of my harder shawls or to do for the, or, you know, longer shawls. But I'm not sure yet. Ugh. I also have to figure out my life, like when the Olympics actually falls in relationship to my life, which I didn't figure out the last couple times and realized like, oh, I'm going to be like, you know, on a cruise ship or I'm going to be at Madrona or, you know, places where I'm not going to be able to work on things. So I need to take that into account.
If you're in the Seattle area, Madrona Fiber Retreat in Tacoma is coming up mid-February, same weekend as Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And then Stitches West is at the end of February, and I'm actually going to be there this year.
Yes,
so I'm really excited. Yeah, with my sister and I think my friend, we're going to drive down from Ukiah and go. So
cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So you can have your Madrona review, and I'm not taking classes at Stitches, but I'll definitely have a shopping review.
Okay.
I plan on doing some shopping.
All right.
So, yeah.
Well, that's cool.
So, and thanks to everyone who posted about choosing your next knit on the double knit board. Yeah.
What else did I want to say? And I can't remember her name now. Do you remember the name of the woman who called the shop?
No.
Oh, I forgot.
But hi.
I'm sorry.
She wanted to knit my Fair Isle jacket.
To knit the Classic Elite Portland Tweed Fair Isle jacket that Erin had knit, and she called the shop. And the shop is the Fiber Gallery. I guess I don't really say that a lot.
Yeah, we just say the shop.
We just say the shop, but it's the Fiber Gallery in Seattle. And so
we're
thank
awesome.
You for that. Yeah.
I'm a little biased.
Little
but,
plug for that. Yeah. But so.
We do have a blog and we do have a group on Ravelry.
Yes, and you can see show notes at doubleknit.net. And there is that it right there? Fair Isle jacket?
Yes, and I'm not sure how to say your name, Whirl KJ.
Or if you, let's open up her profile, maybe it's actually got a name.
Yeah.
Carrie.
In Idaho Falls. Hi!
Hi, Carrie! Thank you.
It's really fun when I'm working, or I guess when you're working, people come in and say they listen to the podcast.
Yes, that is fun.
Or that they came to the shop because they listen to the podcast or whatever. That's really awesome. So
it is fun.
All right, I gotta get Audrey down for her nap.
Yeah, this baby needs a nap, and I gotta go to work.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't cry, baby. Don't cry, baby. Dry your eyes and let's be sweethearts again. And oh, 'cause you know I didn't mean to ever treat you so mean. Come on, sweetheart, and let's try it over again. And oh, don't cry, baby, don't cry. Dry your eyes and let's be sweethearts again. And oh, 'cause you know I didn't mean to ever treat you so mean.